Bayou, 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlin. Saints looked bad yesterday in Philadelphia and were whooped by the Philadelphia Eagles. The pick six right before halftime did the Saints in. When they were intercepted and Philadelphia ran it back for a touchdown. You know, these last few games the Saints have lost, pretty much the same thing has happened in all of the games. They get off to a really slow start. They fall behind. And then they try and come back at the end, but come up short. That happened again yesterday. And now, today's Monday, the Saints are playing in three nights. They're hosting the Buffalo Bills here in the Superdome. And Buffalo, who was looking like a front runner to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, they got whooped yesterday at home by the Indianapolis Colts. And Buffalo recently lost to Jacksonville. And people don't know what happened to the Buffalo Bills. They went from a team who looked great to a team that stinks. And in three nights, they're here in New Orleans playing against the Saints. There are some Saints fans who want to see Taysom Hill installed as the as QB1, because it wasn't a great day for Trevor Siemian yesterday. Again, that pick six he threw at the end of the first half, that was it. And I've seen a couple of local sports writers say, heck, it's time now. I mean, the Saints are 500. It's time now to make the switch. Only the coaches, only Sean Payton are there every day with the players. They're the only ones that see them every day and meet with them daily. And if Sean Payton thinks that playing Taysom Hill will give them a better chance to win than playing Siemian, that's his call. But he hasn't seen that yet, and the coaches with the Saints have not seen anything like that yet, and they've stuck with Trevor Siemian. And disappointing yesterday. And you know what it is? I mean, even if Jameis Winston stayed healthy, I mean, the Saints look like a decent team this year. They look like a fairly good team this year. Did they look like a great team at all? Have the Saints looked like a great football team that could go far in the playoffs?
They were number six at one point, right?
In the NFL power ratings?
Yeah.
They had made it up pretty high. And they've lost some games since then. But it's wild. You know, you look around the league, like I said, Buffalo got wiped out at home. Green Bay, they've lost a couple now in a row. I mean, teams that you thought were we're at the top of the line to go far this year. I mean, Dallas looked like crap yesterday in Kansas City, and it looks like Kansas City's back. Kansas City did not get off to a good start this year, but they've been playing better football these last few weeks. With the extra game, it's a longer season this year, and here we go now. We've got 3 days off for a bunch of teams, and they got to play on Thanksgiving night and Thanksgiving Day.
David says, too many passes into the ground. I turned the game off in the second quarter.
Yeah, the game ended at the end of the first half. The game was over at halftime. It was very, very disappointing. And, you know, we've got Thanksgiving coming up in 3 days. You know, they're saying that there's going to be more Thanksgivings this year than maybe any other year ever before. Because of what happened last year with the coronavirus, and a lot more people will obviously be out, will be traveling, will be going to people's houses for Thanksgiving. And they're saying that there could be more Thanksgivings, at least Thanksgiving meals and Thanksgiving festivities at people's houses than ever before. It'd be pretty wild.
So as far as the Saints goes, I mean, let's say they let Taysom Hill quarterback. How well has he been doing as the Swiss Army knife since Trevor Siemian took over? Have they been utilizing?
He hasn't played that much. I know he's been hurt.
Okay.
He hasn't played that much.
Because you may lose out on that, you know, on that, like you said, that position where you have a guy that can do almost anything.
They will lose out on that if they replace Trevor Siemian with him.
And they're honoring Drew Brees this coming Thursday, right?
It's at halftime.
Hopefully that can boost some sort of morale, just having him in the building. Because it looks like we're going in here hot. We're going in rough. We're going in beat up, injured. It's going to be rough this Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, it's been a rough season, and they're not heading in the right direction.
This text says, the game ended after the first quarter. So sad. Put in Hill.
Yeah, disappointing results yesterday up in Philadelphia. All right, coming up on the show, Christmas trees are like everything else. They're gonna cost more money this year. Hang out for that. Coleman, did you see a movie over the weekend?
Oh, yeah. I went to go see Ghostbusters Afterlife. Some nerdy stuff.
Yeah, that movie did okay, I saw, in the box office. Hang out with us. We got a bunch of stuff we got to get to this morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. Bad day for the Saints yesterday up in Philadelphia. They didn't look good. And these last few losses, the same thing's been happening. They just get off to bad starts and they fall behind, and then they make a comeback, but it's too little, too late. And, you know, with the injuries yesterday, there was no Alvin Kamara. There are some Saints fans, though, that want to see another change at quarterback, whether it's making Taysom Hill QB1 or whether it's starting Ian Book, the rookie, to see what you got.
At this point, what do you have to lose?
He played well in college at Notre Dame. He was in a lot of big games there. Maybe there's something there. But again, the Saints coaches, Sean Payton, the rest of them, they're with these guys all the time. They're with them at practice. They play who they think gives them the best chance to win the game. But the Saints, the game yesterday was extremely disappointing. And this season with the extra game doesn't make life easier. And the other thing that doesn't make life easier is that a bunch of teams, mostly who played and lost yesterday, have to play in 3 nights, in 3 days, playing on Thanksgiving. You know, as an NFL fan, the Thursday game is pretty cool because, it's Thursday night. Here's a game on television. And I know Thanksgiving's a little bit different. They play three now on that Thursday. But when you think about the NFL, most teams, they play Sundays. And then they don't do anything physical on Monday or Tuesday. They may come in and look at film. They may have meetings. They don't do anything physical until Wednesday. And then usually Wednesday and Thursday, they really practice, and they'll have a walkthrough on Friday. But when a team has to play on Thursday night, that all gets moved around and sped up. And I know the NFL makes a lot of money for those Thursday night games, and that's the only reason they have them at this point. Because it doesn't seem to make much sense to play games on Thursday after teams just played on Sunday, and when teams usually don't start practicing until Wednesday.
Who played last Thursday? It was Atlanta.
No, this past Thursday night in Atlanta, they were embarrassed at home. They were shut out. At home on Thursday night last week.
So I think the Thursday night game is, once you, like you said, about money, but I think it's more to whet your appetite for the Sunday games, you know, just kind of get you prepared, like, you know, get you motivated. It's like, it's sort of like a pre-show game to me. I know it counts, but the teams that play on Thursdays, it's like, yeah, all right, I'll take it.
Well, you know, through the course of the season, Coleman, every team has to play a Thursday game. I mean, every team plays a Thursday game, and when most teams aren't practicing until Wednesday, at least getting physical, then all of a sudden, now Thursday, you got a game. But on Thanksgiving, there are now three games. There always used to be two games. There's always a game in Detroit. That's usually always the first game. And they usually lose, the Detroit Lions. And then the Dallas Cowboys always play at home in the second game. And that used to be it. But a few years ago, they added a night game. And that's the game the Saints are playing in, the primetime game on Thanksgiving night. And, you know, what do the Saints have to lose by seeing what they got with Ian Book?
Or Taysom Hill. Why not? I know you feel like every time we play Taysom Hill as QB, you're losing out on something else, but the last three games he hasn't really been, you know, Taysom Hill hasn't really been utilized like the Swiss Army knife to an effective degree.
Well, he's been banged up physically.
Yeah. But who isn't at this point? What, this is about to be week 12 coming up?
Well, yeah, this is the time of the year where most players, something's hurting them, but this is what they do. And this is why most of the players didn't like the extra game being added to the regular season this year. Again, for fans, it's pretty cool. You get an extra week, but for the players, it's go out and do it again.
I wonder how many Trevor Siemian of that pack are switching on him now. You know, back when it was like, well, who would you like to see? Trevor or Taysom? And they had, you know, people in my camp was like, give Taysom a try. He earned QB2 for a reason. And they were like, no, Trevor Siemian did so great. You know, he took the torch from Jameis Winston. He ran with it. Let him start. I wonder how many of those are switching and say, yeah, maybe we should try Taysom Hill now.
Well, I mean, it's easy to say stay with Siemian after he won the first game, and then he hasn't had much success after that.
And that's not to say Taysom Hill would have did any better. But it's more like maybe we gave him too much hype, Trevor Siemian. Maybe we gave him too much hype because we were excited how he won that game in a dramatic fashion. And then we inflated his capabilities.
Well, we'll see what happens. Again, only 3 days to get ready for the Thanksgiving night game on Thursday night. And
you think they start Trevor this Thursday?
I mean, if Sean Payton and the coaching staff have thought these last few weeks that Trevor Siemian is the guy that gives them the best chance to win the game, that's why he's starting. Is that suddenly going to change after another loss? I mean, again, we haven't seen Ian Book at all. I think they know what Taysom Hill can do. And they still haven't started him. So, well, we'll see. It's frustrating that the Saints need to find a quarterback, though. They need, that's what great teams all have, a really, really, really good quarterback. And the Saints don't have that right now. They haven't had that in a couple of years. Drew Brees' arm, his shoulder, was shot last couple of years, and they weren't able to throw the ball deep downfield that much the last couple of years. So now they've moved on, and Brees does a good job on Sunday nights doing the NBC pregame show, and when he comes back at halftime, and he's doing a good job there, but the Saints need to find their quarterback. They need someone who gives the fans hope, because obviously the most important position on the football field, and if they don't have anybody that's consistent enough. We know they're extremely hurting at the wide receiver position this year, and then you, the last couple of games you had no Alvin Kamara. Rough so far this year, but hey, we've got Thanksgiving night. We're three nights away from another game. All right. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I've got a list of things that you should never do if you're going to someone else's house for Thanksgiving. Got that? And Coleman, you saw a movie over the weekend. I wanted to ask you about it because I saw it did pretty well in the box office.
Right.
We still got a bunch of stuff we got to get to this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. 90% of women surveyed said a man's physical appearance isn't important. So if you're an ugly guy who doesn't get any women, you can take comfort in knowing they don't like you for your personality. Coleman, do you believe that 90% of women surveyed said a man's physical appearance is not important?
I believe it.
90%?
You know what's important?
Cha-ching.
Well, the fact that he's financially secure,
yes,
does help.
Yes.
I always hear women say, "Oh, he's got to be funny."
Pete Davidson. That's what I've been hearing about him lately.
Yeah, that lasts for how long? And then they realize, oh, wait, he's being funny at times. I don't want him to be funny. These are not supposed to be funny times right now.
Yeah, not in front of the mother-in-law, not at the funeral.
Why is he? What? Yeah.
So we'll see how many breakups we have over Thanksgiving dinners.
I just couldn't believe that 90% of women surveyed said a man's physical appearance isn't important. And I just don't think they're being 100% honest. I don't think the 90% are being 100% honest. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. Hope you had a better weekend than the Saints. There is something in the NFL called scoregami. Scoregami is when there's a final score and that final score has never happened before in the history of the NFL. And a lot of people on social media talk about scoregami. You would think pretty much every score that we see in the NFL on any given week, you would think that score has happened before because they've played so many NFL games. But that's not the case. And yesterday, there was another scoregami game. It was that Indianapolis Colts win in Buffalo over the Bills. They beat them 41-15, and there has never, ever been a final score in the NFL 41-15 until yesterday.
A lot of big scoring games this week. 40s, all right, for professional NFL, anything in the 40s is a college game to me.
But what made this scoregami, Coleman, is Buffalo getting 15.
Because yeah.
usually when you get two touchdowns, it's 14. But Buffalo got a touchdown and a two-point conversion. But think about that. I mean, they've been playing professional football for a very long time. They've been, the NFL has been a successful league for a very long time. There are still scores that happen that have never happened before, and yesterday was one of them. Think about it. That's mind-boggling when you think of all of the NFL games that have been played in history.
It kind of makes sense when you think about how the NFL are scored. You know, 6 points for a touchdown, 3 points for a field goal, 1 point for an extra point, 2 point conversions. Like, just the way that we add points in football is odd. There are scores that are never going to happen. Like, nobody's going to have four. You can't have four in football. You can't do two-point conversions unless there's a touchdown.
Well, wait, you can get four if you get two safeties.
See exactly.
I mean, who's
that might be something that happens one day.
Who's ever going to do that?
Well, you see, it's scored so odd that there are probably scores that's never going to happen. Not even just it happens for the first time, but.
But we've had the two-point conversion in the NFL now, what, about a decade, about 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
About that, how long have we had the two-point conversion? So that changed some scoregami situations. But it's neat how they have a word for that. It's called scoregami, and the internet seems to cheer every time the NFL gives us a game where that score has never happened before.
Yeah, they wouldn't be cheering as much if they put money on the game. Scoregami is probably bad for situations like that, right? When you have money on the game and you're looking at point spreads and stuff like that, and then you get a score that never happened before. It's like, what the hell is this?
Well, if you win the bet, then you're probably happy about it. I mean, if you lose the bet, you're probably like, damn, I lost the bet. Damn, it's Scoregami too?
Yeah, but this season has had a lot of high-scoring games, and it's perplexing to me because you would think with a professional defense, scores like from 15 to 41, or how the Saints lost about, you know, to 40-point games, like, how are we allowing so many points in a professional? That's college, that's PlayStation scores, you know what I mean?
Yeah, video game stuff in some of these games. But it's fascinating when you Scoregami. That every once in a while we see a score that has never happened before in the NFL. And who knows, Coleman, maybe someday there will be a team who's playing really good defense and they tackle their opponent in their own end zone to get a safety, a two-point play, and they do it twice. and that would give them four.
It wouldn't be the final score, 4-0. A 4-3, two safeties and the other team scored a field goal. That would be a real Scoregami.
Yeah, that'd be something.
And New Orleans won 4-3.
And the Buffalo Bills, who were part of that Scoregami game yesterday, and they looked bad. They haven't looked good in the last few weeks, really. They're here in three nights, Thanksgiving, to play the Saints. And
wait. Let's see. Somebody says 2-point conversion, 1994. All right.
That's when the 2-point conversion?
Yeah.
And the NFL?
Yeah.
What did I say, about a decade? Jesus. A lot longer.
It feels like a decade.
Jesus.
I still think 1990 is 10 years ago, so.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Yeah, there's a meme going around saying that, you know, in 1980, if you were talking about 40 years ago, you were talking about 1940. Now, if you're talking about 40 years ago, you're talking about 1980. I'm trying to make people feel worse than they already do. Coming up next, it's this morning's Big O. And I've got a small list of things that you should never do if you're going for Thanksgiving dinner at someone else's house. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. Genesis there, and they're touring for the first time in like seemingly forever. Phil Collins is singing from sitting down in a chair on stage, and his son is playing drums. But they're touring around the country. They're not scheduled to play here in New Orleans, and that stinks. But they're out there, and they're. This is something that they were going to do last year, but because of the pandemic, they will wait a year. And but they're in America, touring around right now. Genesis. Since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. We're 3 days away from Thanksgiving. Are you hosting this year, or are you going to someone else's house for dinner? I've been invited to a couple of different people's homes for Thanksgiving, so I'm looking forward to that. But I have in front of me a short list of things only bad Thanksgiving guests do. So if you're planning on eating at someone else's place on Thursday, don't do any of these things. And if you can think of any more things that Thanksgiving guests shouldn't do, text us. Don't surprise the host with last-minute dietary requests. If you're allergic to nuts, let them know before you go, and not the night before.
That, I guess that's reasonable.
Yeah, somebody shows up to a Thanksgiving dinner somewhere, and they say, well, I have these special dietary needs, A, B, C, and D, and that's not right to do.
Now, I don't have dietary needs, but I am a picky eater, and one of the things I always feel awkward is when my friends invite me over to eat, whether they cooked or not, and they don't understand that I have a very limited palate. They just assume I eat everything that everybody else eats, and then they never ask me. They just stick a plate in front of your face, and there's stuff on the plate that I don't eat, and I don't want to be rude. It's like, oh, I don't eat cheese. They don't know. Like I put some jalapeno poppers in there, some macaroni and cheese. It's like, oh, man, wait, I don't eat cheese. Oh, I don't eat this creamy stuff, and I don't eat, man. There's a lot of stuff that I don't eat, but none of my friends take the time to ask me, hey, do you even eat this? They just stick it in front of my face, and I have to be that guy like, yeah, I'm going to have to pass. I had to do that a few times, and I end up being a bad guy.
Yeah, you're not a cheese eater.
No, I have a very limited palate. I can name more things that I don't eat than I do eat.
Don't show up empty-handed or with a surprise dish.
Wait, what? So don't show up empty-handed, but then don't show up with a surprise meal or dish?
Yeah. I mean, if you're invited to someone's home for Thanksgiving dinner, show up with something to drink, maybe beer or wine.
Okay.
But don't bring a surprise dish, because now the hosts of the Thanksgiving dinner, now you've put them in a unique situation. They've prepared all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you're showing up with this surprise dish?
I don't know. See, I think here in New Orleans we invite surprise. Like, hey, I brought some jambalaya. I brought some of my meatballs. I think most people are like, yeah, you brought those meatballs. That's what I would assume.
I've just got a few things in front of me that only bad Thanksgiving guests do. Those are two of them. Third one is, don't expect oven space. If you're bringing something that needs to be heated up, let the people know ahead of time you're bringing something that needs to be heated up, because they might not have room, or you might not have access if they're still cooking the turkey and they're using their oven. Don't arrive early or show up starving.
Don't show up starving?
Not starving. Show up hungry, but not starving. It's common for Thanksgiving to start a little later than planned. So don't show up early unless you're there to help. And don't be that person who says, I'm really hungry. When are we going to eat? There's usually always someone around a Thanksgiving outing that's like that.
Yeah, the broke person. The broke person that eat ramen noodles the entire year, and this is finally it's their time to actually eat some real food, but they're being held back by those who have, you know, disposable income.
I've got two more.
Okay.
Don't overserve yourself. That includes putting too much on your plate. You want to make sure everybody at the Thanksgiving table gets to try everything that's available.
Now, on the flip side, I've been to some Thanksgiving dinners where they're like, no, man, get some more, man. We have plenty of food. And, like, I try to eat humbly, but they're like, no, dump some more in there. And they take it and they start dumping more stuff. We got plenty to go around. So,
well, that's a good thing.
Not if you don't like the food in real life. The reason I get small portions is because, all right, I don't want to be rude and not eat. So I'm going to eat a little something to pretend I like it. Like, this is great. But then like, no, take some more, man.
And by the way, when you shouldn't be over-serving yourself, it's not just the food. The alcohol, too, obviously.
That's me.
And finally, don't overstay your welcome on Thanksgiving. Your host will probably have to wake up early to get everything done on time, so at some point, they will want you to leave. Yeah, remember, if you're going to someone's house, it's been a long day for the people whose house you're going to, especially the folks that are preparing the festivities.
Yeah, but if you pass out drunk, I mean, what could you do?
Well, that's another thing you're not supposed to do.
Well, we have some more. This text says, making a gold plate before everyone is finished eating.
Yeah, grabbing things to go while people are still sitting down at the Thanksgiving table, that's not cool.
You don't do the go on tour like you go to everyone's houses, you make a to-go plate and leave, you don't stick around. That's what I used to do. It's like, all right, I'm going to go to my auntie's house, grab some turkey, going to go to my other auntie's house and grab some jambalaya, then go to my friend's house because they had the good meatballs, and I make my own little customized plate by going to each one of their houses and getting the stuff that I like from each one instead of sticking around for the meal part.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans Classic Rock Station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. Genesis there, and they're touring for the first time in, like, seemingly forever. Phil Collins is singing from sitting down in a chair on stage, and his son is playing drums. But they're touring around the country. They're not scheduled to play here in New Orleans. And that stinks. But they're out there, and they're this is something that they were going to do last year, but because of the pandemic, they will wait a year. And but they're in America, touring around right now. Genesis. Since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. We're 3 days away from Thanksgiving. Are you hosting this year, or are you going to someone else's house for dinner? I've been invited to a couple of different people's homes for Thanksgiving, so I'm looking forward to that. But I have in front of me a short list of things only bad Thanksgiving guests do. So if you're planning on eating at someone else's place on Thursday, don't do any of these things. And if you can think of any more things that Thanksgiving guests shouldn't do, text us. Don't surprise the host with last-minute dietary requests. If you're allergic to nuts, let them know before you go, and not the night before.
That, I guess that's reasonable.
Yeah, somebody shows up to a Thanksgiving dinner somewhere, and they say, well, I have these special dietary needs, A, B, C, and D, and That's not right to do.
Now, I don't have dietary needs, but I am a picky eater. And one of the things I always feel awkward is when my friends invite me over to eat, whether they cooked or not, and they don't understand that I have a very limited palate. They just assume I eat everything that everybody else eats, and then they never ask me. They just stick a plate in front of your face, and there's stuff on the plate that I don't eat, and I don't want to be rude. It's like, oh, I don't eat cheese. They don't know. Like, I put some jalapeno poppers in this macaroni and cheese. It's like, oh, man, wait, I don't eat cheese. Oh, I don't eat this creamy stuff, and I don't eat, man. There's a lot of stuff that I don't eat, but none of my friends take the time to ask me, hey, do you even eat this? They just stick it in front of my face, and I have to be that guy like, yeah, I'm going to have to pass. I have to do that a few times, and I end up being a bad guy.
Yeah, you're not a cheese eater.
No, I have a very limited palate. I can name more things that I don't eat than I do eat.
Don't show up empty-handed or with a surprise dish.
Wait, what? So don't show up empty-handed, but then don't show up with a surprise meal, a dish?
Yeah. I mean, if you're invited to someone's home for Thanksgiving dinner, show up with something to drink, maybe beer or wine.
Okay.
But don't bring a surprise dish, because now the hosts of the Thanksgiving dinner, now you've put them in a unique situation. They've prepared all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you're showing up with this surprise dish.
I don't know. See, I think here in New Orleans we invite surprise. Like, hey, I brought some jambalaya. I brought some of my meatballs. I think most people are like, yeah, you brought those meatballs. That's what I would assume.
I've just got a few things in front of me that only bad Thanksgiving guests do. Those are two of them. Third one is, don't expect oven space. If you're bringing something that needs to be heated up, let the people know ahead of time you're bringing something that needs to be heated up, because they might not have room or you might not have access if they're still cooking the turkey and they're using their oven. Don't arrive early or show up starving.
Don't show up starving?
Not starving. Show up hungry, but not starving. It's common for Thanksgiving to start a little later than planned. So don't show up early unless you're there to help. And don't be that person who says, I'm really hungry. When are we going to eat? There's usually always someone around a Thanksgiving outing that's like that.
Yeah, the broke person. The broke person that eat ramen noodles the entire year, and this is finally it's their time to actually eat some real food, but they're being held back by those who have, you know, disposable income.
I've got two more.
Okay.
Don't overserve yourself. That includes putting too much on your plate. You want to make sure everybody at the Thanksgiving table gets to try everything that's available.
Now, on the flip side, I've been to some Thanksgiving dinners where they're like, no, man, get some more, man. We have plenty of food. And, like, I try to eat humbly, but they're like, no, dump some more in there. And they take and they start dumping more stuff. We got plenty to go around. So,
well, that's a good thing.
Not if you don't like the food in real life. The reason I get small portions is because, all right, I don't want to be rude and not eat. So I'm going to eat a little something and to pretend that I like it. Like, this is great. But then like, no, take some more, man.
And by the way, when you shouldn't be over-serving yourself, it's not just the food. The alcohol, too, obviously.
That's me.
And finally, don't overstay your welcome on Thanksgiving. Your host will probably have to wake up early to get everything done on time. So at some point, they will want you to leave. Yeah, remember, if you're going to someone's house, it's been a long day for the people whose house you're going to, especially the folks that are preparing the festivities.
Yeah, but if you pass out drunk, I mean, what could you do?
Well, that's another thing you're not supposed to do.
Well, we have some more. This text says, making a gold plate before everyone is finished eating.
Yeah, grabbing things to go while people are still sitting down at the Thanksgiving table. That's not cool.
You don't do the go on tour, like you go to everyone's houses, you make a to-go plate and leave. You don't stick around. That's what I used to do. It's like, all right, I'm going to go to my auntie's house, grab some turkey. Going to go to my other auntie's house and grab some jambalaya. Then go to my friend's house because they had the good meatballs. And I make my own little customized plate by going to each one of their houses and getting the stuff that I like from each one instead of sticking around for the meal part.
Now, the last few years, Coleman, I pretty much only go to one, maybe two people's place on Thanksgiving. I don't want to be running around all day.
Right, but here's how I upgraded it. Now, instead of going to all those different people's houses and getting what I like from their houses, I call people that are there and tell them to drop it off at my house. So I call one of my friends and say, hey, if you're going to Avondale, I want you to bring back those meatballs, and call them my other friend. Hey, if you're going to swing by this way, drop off the turkey from, you know, I get other people to drop the food off. That way I don't even have to go to the Thanksgiving gatherings, and I can get people to drop the food off to me. This text says, don't be the only one getting drunk.
Yeah, at least have one other person there at the Thanksgiving
right.
party drinking as well.
Nicole says, watch your kids. We're trying to have a good time, too. Yeah.
Keep an eye on the young ones.
Don't talk politics or religion.
That's right.
It says, this sounds like a northern list. Some of it is kind of northern.
Well, it's interesting. I think it's for the whole country, but obviously regionally we're different than the rest of the country. You know, I also have the favorite casseroles of people. Do you know what the favorite casserole in Louisiana is? And I couldn't believe this when I saw this.
Is it tuna?
Corn.
Corn. Okay.
Corn casserole. I figured it would be green bean casserole, because nationally green bean casserole and broccoli casserole are the most popular casseroles. But here in Louisiana, a couple of other Midwestern states, out in California, it's Mexican corn, but here in Louisiana, a corn casserole. I don't think I've ever had one of those.
I've never heard of one of those. Here's the thing. Louisiana and New Orleans specifically is known for their food, right?
That's right.
We're known for our cooking. We're known for having the best food in the country. You would think the rest of the country would take notes on what we're doing. But then I say that, and when I see how other cities, you know, especially in the North, try to make our food, it's always a disaster. Whether they try to make our gumbo, whether they try to season a chicken a certain way, or they try to make jambalaya, it never comes out the way we would prefer it. But it's a give and take.
If you're listening, text us. You could think of any more things that you shouldn't do if you're going to someone else's house for Thanksgiving on Thursday. And are you a corn casserole person? Because this list of the United States I'm looking at right now says Louisiana's favorite casserole on Thanksgiving is corn casserole. And I don't ever remember having that here in Louisiana.
Well, John, while we're at it, what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Well, I'm a traditionalist. I love turkey. I love stuffing. I love potatoes. I love the green bean casserole.
Yeah, I'm a turkey and gravy guy.
Yeah, text us if there's anything else you could think of that you shouldn't do when you're going to someone else's place for Thanksgiving. And are you a corn casserole person? Is that really the most popular, the favorite type of casserole for Thanksgiving here in Louisiana? That had me scratching my head.
And also, what are you looking forward to eating? I know, turkey and gumbo for me.
504-260-9595. Keep your text short. If it's good, we will read it coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So, in Oregon, state police there busted a massive illegal marijuana operation, and they seized a half million pounds of marijuana.
Smoke weed every day.
Now, what's interesting, Oregon is one of the states where it's legal. Yet somebody up there gets busted with a half million pounds of weed. Now, experts say as a result, Americans seeking to buy illegal marijuana could experience delays of around 5 minutes. So, you know, here in Louisiana, we're probably another year, maybe two away, but it looks like it's going to be made legal. But until that happens, we still have to, commit illegal activities to enjoy that stuff.
Bummer.
Here on Bayou. Hey, coming up next, it's your texts. I gave you a small list of things you shouldn't do if you're going to someone else's place for Thanksgiving on Thursday. And I asked you to add to that list if you could. And also, I just saw a map of the United States where it said corn
casserole.
Casserole is the most popular casserole in Louisiana. I don't think I've ever had corn casserole here, and I've lived here a long time now. Have you ever had corn casserole? Are you familiar with what that is? Your texts on those coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about Thanksgiving. And I had a short list of things only bad Thanksgiving guests do. Show up at someone's house for Thanksgiving and you have last minute dietary requests. Don't show up empty handed, or don't show up with a surprise dish either. Don't expect any oven space. If you're showing up at somebody else's house for Thanksgiving, I need the oven for a few minutes. Don't do that. Don't arrive early or show up starving. Don't overserve yourself, both food and alcoholic beverage.
Oh.
And don't overstay your welcome. Remember, the people that put together that feast that you're enjoying, they have been up for a long time. And I asked you to text us if you could add anything else to that list if for people that are going to somebody else's house for Thanksgiving.
This text says, don't bring other people with you. I agree with that. Surprise guests. Greg from Homer says, don't blow up the bathroom and forget to spray the air freshener.
You know, it's interesting Greg brought up the bathroom, because Black Friday, it's the busiest day of the year for plumbers in the United States. And they don't call it Black Friday, they call it Brown Friday.
This text says, don't prepare a grace and expect to be able to say it without notice. Hosts may have done the same. See, that's why I like going to eat by Atheist's house. They don't even waste their time with the whole grace thing. They get straight to the food. Golf War Vet says, in Ohio, after both my parents died, I would go to my relative's house for Thanksgiving for sweet potato pie. Sounds pretty cool. Vicky and Wagaman says, if you have not had corn casserole, you don't know what you're missing.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm looking at a map, and it has each state's favorite casserole, and it says here Louisiana's favorite casserole is corn casserole. And I've never had that before. And I love corn, but when it comes to casserole, isn't it usually green beans?
Well, Randall says, I've never had corn casserole. Jesse says, we call it corn pudding.
All right.
Joel says, corn casserole with cornbread mix and sour cream. Mmm. Rachel says, I make a corn casserole, and it's highly requested by all my family members every year.
I'm going to have to try this corn casserole. You know, Coleman, maybe after the show today, I'm going to stop by the store, and I'll just see what I need, and maybe I'll go make some.
Well, you should try somebody else's first before you go experimenting and try to make it, John. just to see how it's done.
You think?
Yeah. Mark in Mandeville says, corn and casserole should never be in the same sentence. Eggplant casserole is pretty good, though. Okay, that's kind of biased. MD says, I make a killer jalapeno green chili corn casserole, but I'm from Texas. Air-fried turkey is the bomb, my favorite thing, hands down. This text says, cream cauliflower over baked macaroni. That's what they're looking forward to. And a corn casserole, I don't even want to Google that. This text says, screw corn casserole. Green bean casserole is number one all the way. And then Steve in Metairie says, he's looking forward to shrimp and crawfish stuffing. I'm looking forward to gumbo myself.
Yeah, and with the casseroles, there's a couple of other ones here. Cheesy potato casserole, hash brown, cheesy hash brown, canned sweet potato casserole. But you've already got, if you're doing a big thing of mashed potatoes or whatever, do you really need potato casserole too?
When it comes to things I'm looking forward to, they're looking forward to this Thanksgiving. LJ from Shelman says, your wife. Okay. I don't know what this is, but stripper juice with cornmeal.
Squash casserole is popular in a few states as well. Ew. I just always thought it was green beans. Just, you got green beans, make a casserole.
Corn casserole with Atlanta Falcons fans here stuffed with French onions.
Well, thank you for your texts. Always appreciated in our Big O segment, because I always want to hear from you during that segment. Coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And Coleman went and saw a movie over the weekend that did all right. I want to get his take on that. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. Bummer Monday after the Saints' disappointing performance yesterday in Philadelphia. And they're playing in three nights against the Buffalo Bills, who looked awful again yesterday. And, you know, some crazy things keep happening in the NFL. Yesterday, the Houston Texans went to Tennessee and beat the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is the hottest team in the league, coming off a win over the Saints. And Houston, who won the opening week, and they hadn't won a game in a couple of months since, go there and whoop the Tennessee Titans. This is a strange football season. And as far as the Saints are concerned, we'll see. You stick with Simeon at quarterback? Do you play Taysom Hill? Do you see what you got with the rookie Ian Book out of Notre Dame? I mean, what do you do? They're 5-5. They still have a chance to be a playoff team this year. Do you just stick with what you've been doing with all of the injuries and the hurricane at the beginning of the season? This has been a tough season. There's no doubt about it. This has been a challenging, frustrating football season. So, just crazy stuff happened in the NFL, too. Coleman, you went and saw a movie this weekend with the guy that does traffic on the show, with Joshua. What'd you go see?
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Now, what's that? That's not a new Ghostbusters movie.
Sort of. It's a sequel. It's sort of like a sequel. So what happened was, there's the first two original Ghostbusters movie, which I'm a diehard fan of, that starred Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis.
Sure.
And then they made a sequel to that one, right? Well, then back in 2016, they tried to do a reboot of the Ghostbusters with an all-female cast.
I remember that.
And it bombed. So Ghostbusters Afterlife erases that the female cast, and it's a sort of like a direct sequel from the second Ghostbusters movie picks up where that one left off and just forgets about the entire. So it's sort of like a blemish of like trying to correct the mistake that they made with the reboot of Ghostbusters in 2016.
So was Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd in this
I can't spoil it for you. No, I'm not at liberty to say. Dan Aykroyd is confirmed to be in it, though. He was in the trailer. So, yeah. And
because I had read somewhere where the guys who were left from the first two Ghostbusters movies were going to make another one.
It's possible. But without spoiling the movie, overall it was good. Like, especially if you're a Ghostbusters fan, I highly recommend that you see it. It wasn't what I was expecting. It wasn't what I hoped for. It was flawed, but it was still a good movie overall. And they did pay a tribute to Harold Ramis, who died, which was pretty heartfelt, especially if you're a hardcore Ghostbusters fan. I would say if you are a Ghostbusters fan and you want to see Afterlife, go there with low expectations. And when I came out of it, you know, I was slightly disappointed because it wasn't what I hoped for. But somebody had told me something that made me love it, which was, since I fell in love with the Ghostbusters as a kid, I had to look at it through kid eyes again. Because, you know, as an adult, you ever go back and watch a movie that you loved as a kid, but you look at it as an adult and things just stop making sense to you because, like, wait, how did they get the bills paid or where did they get that car from? You start adulting things. And that's what I was doing with this movie. I was paying too much attention to the adult aspect of it. Like, that would never happen in real life, or that's not how the legal system works. But somebody said, look, let all of that go and just look at it like you were a kid again and don't worry about the particulars. And when that happened, I looked at the movie in a whole different perspective. And realized I really did enjoy the movie. I liked it. I loved it.
Well, the movie did fairly well. Its opening weekend, it brought in $44 million.
Cha-ching!
We could do better than that. It's Ghostbusters, people. This text says, did you watch the two post-credit trailers? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So if you are going to go see the movie, stick around for the post-credit scenes that add to the movie. But don't spoil it.
Yeah, it made $44 million for its opening weekend. And on Saturday, it made $16.1 million, which is about the same amount of money that the 2016 Ghostbusters grossed on its second day of release. But they had a $44 million opening weekend for Ghostbusters Afterlife. You know, I recently saw the Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos movie, in the theater. But before that, I had to think for a while. The last movie that I actually saw in a movie theater, it was a few years ago. It was when Straight Outta Compton was in the movie theaters.
Okay, is that the movie you went to go see?
Yeah,
Straight Outta Compton in the theaters.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I did too.
Yeah, but lately, the last several years with movies, if there's something that's coming out that I want to see, I just wait till it comes into my living room because now with all the streaming services and all the different ways we can get things into our living rooms, I used to love going to movies. These last several years, I've hardly gone to a movie theater.
Well, it depends on what type of movies you're into. You like, you know, mafia movies, history movies. Those are things that you can see in at home and streaming. It probably preferred because there's nobody, you know, around you can actually absorb the movie. I like big special effects blockbusters.
Those need to be seen on the big screen.
IMAX. Like, I've seen The Eternals. I'm into Marvel. The special effects with King Kong versus Godzilla. You don't want to see King Kong versus Godzilla in your living room TV. You have to see that on IMAX to get the scale and the sound and the rumbles. Now, if it was, like, if Many Saints of Newark, yeah, I'll see that on television. You know, the one that just came out on Netflix, The Irishman, the Scorsese, the mafia movie with Robert De Niro. It came out recently, and it was like a four-hour-long movie. That's something you want to watch on a streaming service. You wouldn't want to go see that at a movie. But if it's a big blockbuster special effects like Ghostbusters Afterlife with the proton wands and the sparks and the ghosts and all that, yeah, you want to see that on a big screen.
Yeah, if they've got a lot of enhanced effects, that's for the big screen. Yeah. It's inside the movie theater. So you recommend it?
For Ghostbusters fans, yes. Yes. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, I recommend it. And if you want to bring your kids, it's really a kids movie at heart. So if it's a family movie. It's PG-13, no profanity, nothing like that. So it's good. It's safe for kids. And once again, I have to look at it through kid eyes. But as a Ghostbusters fan, I do love it.
As a Ghostbusters fan, what was wrong with the Ghostbusters that came out 5 years ago with the women as Ghostbusters instead of men?
It was too slapstick. It wasn't, you know, the humor in the first two Ghostbusters were really deadpan, but it was set in reality. The comedy came from situational comedy. It wasn't like slapstick. Now, the one with the females, it was all like they were slapping each other. It's like a Three Stooges movie. They were going like over the top, getting hurt and, you know, stuff like it was cartoonish, like a Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote, people getting hurt but no injuries. It was really slapstickish, cartoonish, claymation.
All right. Well, because I'm a Ghostbusters fan. I liked the first two, but I wasn't really really familiar with this one. And I was just reading where, again, the old timers who were still around in the first two Ghostbusters, they were thinking about doing another one.
I don't know. They're kind of up in age, but let's hope for the best.
Yeah, good stuff. Those first two Ghostbusters movies were classics. No doubt about it. All right, coming up on the show, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And also, there's a hotel in Georgia that has a little bit of explaining to do. How do you kick out a grandmother and her 6-year-old granddaughter? In the middle of the night, you kicked them out. And they had to walk to they went to another hotel. They were in their pajamas. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A 63-year-old grandmother and her 6-year-old granddaughter were recently kicked out of a hotel in Georgia in the middle of the night. And they went to the next hotel in their pajamas. They were staying in the resort town of Helen, Georgia. And they were staying at a hotel called the Baymont Inn and Suites. Evidently, not long after they checked in, the 63-year-old grandmother provided a 3-star review of the hotel on hotels.com.
While she was in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And evidently, that got back to the guy in charge downstairs. And when he saw that this woman only gave his hotel 3 stars out of 5, he called the police and said, I need you to come and evict somebody who's staying here. And the cop showed up, and the cop knocked on the door and told the 63-year-old woman, her and her 6-year-old granddaughter have to leave. It was late at night.
Hmm.
And then when the woman asked the police officer why, the police officer said, because it's in the police report, the guy in charge of the hotel was not happy with the review of the hotel room you gave on hotels.com.
If the guy's goal is to get a higher review, you would think the right thing to do after seeing the review that she gave was give her better service instead of kicking her out. Because if she gave it around a 3 or whatever, and you wanted like a 4 or a 5, then go up to her and say, hey, how can I make this a 4 or a 5? instead of kicking her out, now she's going to give a one-star review, if that. That's not how you get a higher review. You don't kick old people and a kid out for giving them a three-star review if you want a higher star review. So he's going about this the wrong way.
I just can't believe for that he called the cops and had the cops come to the hotel late at night, and they had to go. They went to another hotel down the road, but they went in their pajamas, the 63-year-old grandmother and her 6-year-old granddaughter.
What do you suppose they gave the other hotel, the grandmother and the granddaughter, the new hotel that let them in?
It's a good question. The grandmother's probably thinking, I shouldn't give a review on this right now. I should wait until my stay is over, and then I'll give a review.
Which you should do all the time. You always wait till afterwards to give a full review. You don't give them a review in the middle of the service.
Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
That wasn't it?
No, wait till you hear what this criminal did after his crime that led to him getting caught. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A wanted criminal got arrested after making a t-shirt bragging about his crime. This guy is in Arkansas, and he got arrested after making a t-shirt that bragged about how he stole a motorcycle and outran the cops.
How do you fit that on a t-shirt?
What he did, Coleman, is he took a screen grab of a Facebook post that said the Harley Davidson motorcycle was stolen. Here's a picture. You can kind of see the guy who did it. So the criminal just happened to see that on Facebook. He took the screen grab and then he put that on a t-shirt.
You idiot.
You know what he should have done? If he was going to go to that much trouble, he should have made like 20 of those shirts and give them to his friends. That way the cops didn't know which one was really the guy who stole the motorcycle.
The criminal in Arkansas, his name is Donald Cooper.
Donald.
He stole someone's Harley Davidson last month, and he got away from police after he ditched it and ran off on foot. So the police posted a photo of the motorcycle on Facebook along with the description of the suspect. And then Donald Cooper saw that post by the police. He saved a screenshot of it and he turned it into a t-shirt.
You idiot!
He got caught this past Thursday, which is about a month after he stole the Harley Davidson. He got caught last Thursday after he ran from another cop and got away again. But they were able to track him down this time. And once they did, they found the same helmet he was wearing when he stole the motorcycle last month. And they also found photographs of the motorcycle. They also recovered a black t-shirt with their Facebook post about the crime printed on the front of the t-shirt.
You know, we talked about this, how this generation seems to brag about their misgivings, whether they do something crazy, they put it on TikTok, or they see themselves on Facebook, whether it's a PD looking for them, and they actually comment on, because we've seen that before, where somebody is wanted, and the police will put it on Facebook, hey, have you seen this person? And that person would actually comment on that stuff like, hey, you'll never catch me or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I remember like, a couple of those, yeah.
do criminals know how to even crime anymore? It doesn't seem like they know how to crime correctly.
Well, this guy, a month ago, stole the Harley. he got away from police, although he ditched the bike and he escaped on foot. So
imagine if he'd actually got away with the bike. He probably would have took a picture with him leaning on the motorcycle if the post got out. Like, hey, somebody stole his Harley Davidson. He'd go in his garage or his driveway and actually take a picture of himself with the bike saying, yeah.
Well, the criminals that we know about and the ones that we talk about on this show and during this segment, they're obviously not the smartest people
Clearly. Walking
around. It makes you wonder how many really, really smart criminals there are that live their lives like you and I, but they commit crimes to do so, but they're so smart that they don't get caught. I wonder how many of those there are out there.
I don't know. How many elected officials do we have?
No. Yeah, this guy, he got exactly what he deserved. It's what happens when you print out, or at least make a screen grab, and then print out your local police's Facebook post about something that you stole, and you put it on a T-shirt.
I mean, points for creativity, I guess.
Well, the guy, the wanted criminal who got arrested after making a T-shirt bragging about his crime, that's Donald Cooper of Arkansas. Donald Dope. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. Bummer Monday after the Saints' disappointing performance yesterday in Philadelphia. And they're playing in three nights against the Buffalo Bills, who looked awful again yesterday. And, you know, some crazy things keep happening in the NFL. Yesterday, the Houston Texans went to Tennessee and beat the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is the hottest team in the league, coming off a win over the Saints. And Houston, who won the opening week, and they hadn't won a game in a couple of months since, go there and whoop the Tennessee Titans. This is a strange football season. And as far as the Saints are concerned, we'll see. You stick with Simeon at quarterback? Do you play Taysom Hill? Do you see what you got with the rookie Ian Book out of Notre Dame? I mean, what do you do? They're 5-5. They still have a chance to be a playoff team this year. Do you just stick with what you've been doing with all of the injuries and the hurricane at the beginning of the season? This has been a tough season. There's no doubt about it. This has been a challenging, frustrating football season. So, just crazy stuff happened in the NFL, too. Coleman, you went and saw a movie this weekend with the guy that does traffic on the show, with Joshua. What'd you go see?
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Now, what's that? That's not a new Ghostbusters movie.
Sort of. It's a sequel. It's sort of like a sequel. So what happened was, there's the first two original Ghostbusters movie, which I'm a diehard fan of, that starred Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis. And then they made a sequel to that one, right? Well, then back in 2016, they tried to do a reboot of the Ghostbusters with an all-female cast.
I remember that.
And it bombed. So Ghostbusters Afterlife erases that the female cast, and it's a sort of like a direct sequel from the second Ghostbusters movie. It picks up where that one left off and just forgets about the entire, so it's sort of like a blemish of, like, trying to correct the mistake that they made with the reboot of Ghostbusters in 2016.
So was Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd in this new...
I can't spoil it for you. No, I'm not at liberty to say. Dan Aykroyd is confirmed to be in it, though. He was in the trailer. So, yeah. And
because I had read somewhere where the guys who were left from the first two Ghostbusters movies were going to make another one.
It's possible. But without spoiling the movie, overall, it was good. Like, especially if you're a Ghostbusters fan, I highly recommend that you see it. It wasn't what I was expecting. It wasn't what I hoped for. It was flawed, but it was still a good movie overall. And they did pay a tribute to Harold Ramis, who died, which was pretty heartfelt, especially if you're a hardcore Ghostbusters fan. I would say if you are a Ghostbusters fan and you want to see Afterlife, go there with low expectations. And when I came out of it, you know, I was a slightly disappointed because it wasn't what I hoped for. But somebody had told me something that made me love it, which was, since I fell in love with the Ghostbusters as a kid, I had to look at it through kid eyes again. Because, you know, as an adult, you ever go back and watch a movie that you loved as a kid, but you look at it as an adult and things just stop making sense to you because, like, wait, how did they get the bills paid or where did they get that car from? You start adulting things. And that's what I was doing with this movie. I was paying too much attention to the adult aspect of it. Like, that would never happen in real life, or that's not how the legal system works. But somebody said, look, let all of that go and just look at it like you were a kid again and don't worry about the particulars. And when that happened, I looked at the movie in a whole different perspective and realized I really did enjoy the movie. I liked it. I loved it.
Well, the movie did fairly well. Its opening weekend, it brought in $44 million.
Cha-ching!
We could do better than that. It's Ghostbusters, people. This text says, did you watch the two post-credit trailers? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So if you are going to go see the movie, stick around for the post-credit scenes that add to the movie. But don't spoil it.
Yeah, it made $44 million for its opening weekend. And on Saturday, it made $16.1 million, which is about the same amount of money that the 2016 Ghostbusters grossed on its second day of release. But they had a $44 million opening weekend for Ghostbusters Afterlife. You know, I recently saw the Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos movie, in the theater. But before that, I had to think for a while. The last movie that I actually saw in a movie theater, it was a few years ago. It was when Straight Outta Compton was in the movie theaters.
Okay, is that the movie you went to go see?
Yeah,
Straight Outta Compton in the theaters.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I did too.
Yeah, but lately, the last several years with movies, if there's something that's coming out that I want to see, I just wait till it comes into my living room because now with, you know, all the streaming services and all the different ways we can get things into our living rooms, I used to love going to movies. These last several years, I've hardly gone to a movie theater.
Well, it depends on what type of movies you're into. You like, you know, mafia movies, history movies. Those are things that you can see at home and streaming. It probably prefer because there's nobody, you know, around you can actually absorb the movie. I like big special effects blockbusters.
Those need to be seen on the big screen.
IMAX. Like, I've seen The Eternals. I'm into Marvel. The special effects with King Kong versus Godzilla. You don't want to see King Kong versus Godzilla in your living room TV. You have to see that on IMAX to get the scale and the sound and the rumbles. Now, if it was, like, if Many Saints of Newark, yeah, I'll see that on television. You know, the one that just came out on Netflix, The Irishman, the Scorsese, the mafia movie with Robert De Niro. It came out recently, and it was like a four-hour-long movie. That's something you want to watch on a streaming service. You wouldn't want to go see that at a movie. But if it's a big blockbuster special effects like Ghostbusters Afterlife with the proton wands and the sparks and the ghosts and all that, yeah, you want to see that on a big screen.
Yeah, if they've got a lot of enhanced effects, that's for the big screen. Yeah. It's inside the movie theater. So you recommend it?
For Ghostbusters fans, yes. Yes. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, I recommend it. And if you want to bring your kids, it's really a kids movie at heart. So if it's a family movie. It's PG-13, no profanity, nothing like that. So it's good. It's safe for kids. And once again, I have to look at it through kid eyes. But as a Ghostbusters fan, I do love it.
As a Ghostbusters fan, what was wrong with the Ghostbusters that came out 5 years ago with the women as Ghostbusters instead of men?
It was too slapstick. It wasn't, you know, the humor in the first two Ghostbusters were really deadpan, but it was set in reality. The comedy came from situational comedy. It wasn't like slapstick. Now, the one with the females, it was all like they were slapping each other. It's like a Three Stooges movie. They were going like over the top, getting hurt and, you know, stuff like it was cartoonish, like a Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote, people getting hurt, but no injuries. It was really slapstickish, cartoonish, claymation.
All right. Well, because I'm a Ghostbusters fan. I liked the first two, but I wasn't really really familiar with this one. And I was just reading where, again, the old timers who were still around in the first two Ghostbusters, they were thinking about doing another one.
I don't know. They're kind of up in age, but let's hope for the best.
Yeah, but good stuff. Those first two Ghostbusters movies were classics. No doubt about it. All right, coming up on the show, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And also, there's a hotel in Georgia that has a little bit of explaining to do. How do you kick out a grandmother and her 6-year-old granddaughter? In the middle of the night, you kicked them out. And they had to walk to they went to another hotel. They were in their pajamas. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A 63-year-old grandmother and her 6-year-old granddaughter were recently kicked out of a hotel in Georgia in the middle of the night. And they went to the next hotel in their pajamas. They were staying in the resort town of Helen, Georgia. And they were staying at a hotel called the Baymont Inn and Suites. Evidently, not long after they checked in, the 63-year-old grandmother provided a 3-star review of the hotel on hotels.com.
While she was in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And evidently, that got back to the guy in charge downstairs, and when he saw that this woman only gave his hotel 3 stars out of 5, he called the police and said, "I need you to come and evict somebody who's staying here." And the cop showed up, and the cop knocked on the door and told the 63-year-old woman, her and her 6-year-old granddaughter have to leave. It was late at night.
Hmm.
And then when the woman asked the police officer why, the police officer said, because it's in the police report, the guy in charge of the hotel was not happy with the review of the hotel room you gave on hotels.com.
If the guy's goal is to get a higher review, you would think the right thing to do after seeing the review that she gave was give her better service instead of kicking her out. Because if she gave it around a 3 or whatever, and you wanted like a 4 or a 5, then go up to her and say, "Hey, how can I make this a 4 or a 5? Instead of kicking her out, now she's going to give a 1-star review, if that. That's not how you get a higher review. You don't kick old people and a kid out for giving them a three-star review if you want a higher star review. So he's going about this the wrong way.
I just can't believe for that he called the cops and had the cops come to the hotel late at night, and they had to go. They went to another hotel down the road, but they went in their pajamas, the 63-year-old grandmother and her 6-year-old granddaughter.
What do you suppose they gave the other hotel, the grandmother and the granddaughter, the new hotel that let them in?
It's a good question. The grandmother's probably thinking, I shouldn't give a review on this right now. I should wait until my stay is over, and then I'll give a review.
Which you should do all the time. You always wait till afterwards to give a full review. You don't give them a review in the middle of the service.
Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
That wasn't it?
No, wait till you hear what this criminal did after his crime that led to him getting caught. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A wanted criminal got arrested after making a t-shirt bragging about his crime. This guy is in Arkansas, and he got arrested after making a t-shirt that bragged about how he stole a motorcycle and outran the cops.
How do you fit that on a t-shirt?
What he did, Coleman, is he took a screen grab of a Facebook post that said the Harley-Davidson motorcycle was stolen. Here's a picture. You can kind of see the guy who did it. So the criminal just happened to see that on Facebook. He took the screen grab, and then he put that on a t-shirt.
You idiot!
You know what he should have done? If he was going to go to that much trouble, he should have made like 20 of those shirts and give them to his friends. That way the cops didn't know which one was really the guy who stole the motorcycle.
The criminal in Arkansas, his name is Donald Cooper.
Donald.
He stole someone's Harley Davidson last month, and he got away from police after he ditched it and ran off on foot. So the police posted a photo of the motorcycle on Facebook along with the description of the suspect. And then Donald Cooper saw that post by the police. He saved a screenshot of it and he turned it into a t-shirt.
You idiot!
He got caught this past Thursday, which is about a month after he stole the Harley Davidson. He got caught last Thursday after he ran from another cop and got away again. But they were able to track him down this time. And once they did, they found the same helmet he was wearing when he stole the motorcycle last month. And they also found photographs of the motorcycle. They also recovered a black t-shirt with their Facebook post about the crime printed on the front of the t-shirt.
You know, we talked about this, how this generation seems to brag about their misgivings, whether they do something crazy, they put it on TikTok, or they see themselves on Facebook, whether it's a PD looking for them, and they actually comment on, because we've seen that before, where somebody is wanted, and the police will put it on Facebook, hey, have you seen this person? And that person would actually comment on that stuff like, hey, you'll never catch me or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I remember like, a couple of those, yeah.
Do criminals know how to even crime anymore? It doesn't seem like they know how to crime correctly.
Well, this guy a month ago stole the Harley. He got away from police, although he ditched the bike and he escaped on foot. So
Imagine if he'd actually got away with the bike. He probably would have took a picture with him leaning on the motorcycle if the post got out. Like, hey, somebody stole his Harley Davidson. He'd go in his garage or his driveway and actually take a picture of himself with the bike saying, yeah.
Well, the criminals that we know about and the ones that we talk about on this show and during this segment, they're obviously not the smartest people
Clearly. Walking
around. It makes you wonder how many really, really smart criminals there are that live their lives like you and I, but they commit crimes to do so, but they're so smart that they don't get caught. I wonder how many of those there are out there.
I don't know. How many elected officials do we have?
This guy, he got exactly what he deserved. It's what happens when you print out, or at least make a screen grab, and then print out your local police's Facebook post about something that you stole, and you put it on a T-shirt.
I mean, points for creativity, I guess.
Well, the guy, the wanted criminal who got arrested after making a T-shirt bragging about his crime, that's Donald Cooper of Arkansas. Donald Dope. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.